Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch and you can save on your car insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone for the next few minutes? Look at pictures of food your friends ate? Again? No! Call 1-888-FARMERS for a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Take that for data.
Bam! All right, it is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris, he is Rob, and what a show we have for you over these next 3 hours. Keep it locked as we head into an NBA All-Star weekend, although it's really not a weekend this year. It's one game, one day where they cram everything, the dunk contest, the three-point shootout, the skills competition, all into one night, and that's the weekend we're heading into. We got a week off from the NBA action, so we can talk about the first half of the season and look forward to the second half. So we will do that. We got Vince Goodwill, Rob Parker's nephew or former nephew, and Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer will join us at the bottom of the hour to talk NBA. And there is big news regarding a former superstar. So we'll get to that. So keep it locked here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or Sirius XM Channel 83. How are you, Rob Parker?
Doing good. How are you?
I am great, man. I am great. Looking forward to the weekend and the show. So I'm all good. I got no complaints. Let's introduce the Odd Couple crew and then get this thing started. On his favorite night of the week, the Funky Flashback Friday, DJ Alex Teichert is on the ones and the twos and deep in the crates. He still hasn't found that song I've been begging him to play, though. He's been in the crates to
CB,
a great
I'm still
degree,
looking.
But you still haven't found that song, man.
I'm still looking, man.
All right, we got super producer Rob G running things. And as always, the ever professional Mr. Steve DeSager on the updates. All right, the big news today, Blake Griffin. He was one of the biggest stars of the past decade. I mean, this dude was a superstar, a high flyer. I think one of the greatest game dunkers ever. Won a dunk contest by jumping over a Kia. Just, you know, part of Lob City that revitalized the L.A. Clippers with Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan. And was traded to Detroit a few years ago. Had one nice season and then injuries have derailed him to now. He just ain't that good anymore. And he just got bought out by the Detroit Pistons. And now the big question is, where will he go? A lot of contenders looking at him. The Brooklyn Nets, the L.A. Lakers, the L.A. Clippers have been mentioned in a reunion there. Miami, Boston, Portland, Golden State, they've all been mentioned. And so we're waiting for what Blake Griffin's decision is. Now, reportedly, he gave up $13 million in his buyout. So, wow, that's a lot of money. I don't care how much you have. That's still a lot of money. And that's what it took to get him free. And so now he's going somewhere. Rob Parker, is this big? I mean, you think Blake Griffin can go somewhere and make a difference, be a difference, or, you know, something like that, or not really big news?
No, I don't think it's that big. Just his name. Not his ability anymore. I don't think he's a missing piece for any team that's vying for a chance at the championship. I don't know. You know, I know there's a report out there that the Nets are the leading candidate right to get him or whatever, but I don't know. does he really make the Nets any better, I should say, especially offensively where they are? So, I mean, you should kick the tires and look at it whenever a player of his, name brand becomes available. I think that's just good. He's a tall guy as well, so maybe they look at him, in a different light or coming off the bench for a few minutes and maybe they can maximize him. But I don't think he's a difference maker for anybody who picks him up and will be the reason that they win or lose as we go forward.
Yeah, he's 6'9", and if you're talking about the Nets, maybe he could be a backup center, kind of a small ball center. I mean, he's got some skills. I know his three-point shooting percentage has dropped the last couple years, but he's a decent three-point shooter. It seems like he could be. Not any athleticism left. Rob, check this out. Now, we know Blake Griffin, like I said, to me, one of the greatest game dunkers we've ever seen. He is the only player in the NBA today, Rob, who is 6'7 or taller and who has at least 150 shot attempts and not one dunk. Think about that. Blake Griffin does not have one dunk this year. And the only player in that category in the league. That shows you how far gone his athleticism is. Here's where I feel on Blake. If I'm Blake Griffin, I'm not looking at Miami. I'm not looking at Golden State. I'm not looking at Portland. I'm not looking at Boston. I'm not looking anywhere where they really need me to come in and make a big difference, because I can't make a big difference anymore. Now, he may not know that. He may not believe it. But Blake Griffin cannot go anywhere where you need him to ball and live up to your expectations. I think if he goes to Brooklyn or to the Lakers, even the Clippers, although I don't see a reunion. I just think the way it ended, I don't know that I can't see that happening. It's possible, but I don't see it happening. But the Lakers or the Nets, I could see Blake going there and, not a major impact. It's not going to become a big four in Brooklyn or a big three with the Lakers. But because they have so many other great players, in L.A. you got two. In Brooklyn, you got three. And those guys will draw so much attention, and they're unselfish. Blake Griffin would get so many open buckets in Brooklyn that I think he could play well. And Rob, you know this. It's all about expectations. People raved about Dwight Howard last year. Oh my, he's rejuvenated. What a year by Dwight Howard. Oh my goodness. Man, Dwight Howard was a shell of himself. The difference was that the expectations were nil. These were the expectations for Dwight Howard last year. Come in, don't be a knucklehead, don't destroy the locker room, and play your role. Post up and play defense. 7 points, 6 points, 5 rebounds, whatever, that's fine. And that's what he did. And so people looked at it like he did what he was expected to do. It was great. And so as long as the expectations are low on one of these contenders, I think Blake Griffin can probably go there and fulfill them. But Miami, you need him to get out there and really play well. I don't think that's happening, Rob.
Yeah, I don't know what's left. I mean, I'm sure he wants to. He's only 32. He's not, like, super old. So maybe he feels like
injuries.
Maybe. No, I know, but I'm just saying he's not like he's injured and 35 or something. He's 32 years old. And obviously, if you take a haircut for $13 million, you got to be feeling like, well, you would think that he would go to a team that has a chance to win a championship. If I'm going to pay for my championship ring, it's going to cost me $13 million. I might as well go to a team that at least could walk away with a ring. Right. Otherwise, I'm not going to go somewhere and play for a bad team just so that I can star again or try to redo my career. No. So I don't think that's why he would take such a haircut. So I don't know. I don't know where he's at. I mean, it's unfortunate. He was used to be primetime, must-see. He was fun to watch.
Six-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA. I mean, those are big-time credentials.
That, and it hasn't been that for years. And, the Pistons made the same mistake that a lot of bad teams do, and you know, they get guys a day late, a dollar short. Like they got,
right.
Who's the other guy? The guard from the Bulls.
Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose. Like, yep. Why are you picking up? Look at who they picked up. And then you're asking me why the Pistons like the aren't any good? Right. You keep doing the same thing over and over.
Who happened to have Derrick Rose?
Right. Why do you keep right picking now. Up, you know, guys who are done because they got some name, but they're not going to help you win. And Blake Griffin at this point, I'm assuming he's going to sign with one of the two or three teams that have a shot at a championship, come off the bench, play a few minutes, and try to help a team win a championship.
Let me throw this out at you because you mentioned how great Blake Griffin was. And like I said, 6-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA. That's big time. Do you put him in the category of guys like Grant Hill and Penny Hardaway and even Derrick Rose, who were bona fide, clear-cut Hall of Famers and maybe even all-time greats before the injuries derailed their career? Do you put Blake Griffin in that category?
I don't know if I'm all the way in with that, but he was a star in the league. I think was he a star in the league? Yes. At one point with the Clippers, he was a star. People knew who he was, wanted to watch him play. He was exciting to play. The dunk thing with the Kia was kind of put him out in NBA America where people were looking for him, you know, in the dunks and what he was able to do. So I would just say he was a star. I don't know if he was earmarked to go to the Hall of Fame or anything, but I think he was a star in the league. And obviously injuries are the things that derailed his career and he made him a shell of what he used to be. It's a shame because you would like to see guys get a chance to play healthy and see what they can do over a period of time. But we didn't get to see that with Blake Griffin.
Yeah, and look, in fairness, he did have a nice run. I mean, he had a good 9 years of, you know, top-level play. In fact, his first year in Detroit, or his second year in Detroit, his first healthy year in Detroit, Rob, he averaged 24.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists, and was shooting 7 threes a game. Like, he was really playing a nice game. He led them to the playoffs and made the All-Star team. But then he's had two knee surgeries in the last couple of years, and that's really what's taken everything away from him. But I don't put him in that class of those three players I mentioned. Now, he was certainly a great player. I think it's somewhat similar to Chris Webber. And Webber had a nice, fairly long career too. But then when he got injured, he had the knee injuries and came back, it just sapped him of a lot of his game. And he never was quite the same player. Blake Griffin, I don't think hit the heights that Chris Webber did. I mean, Rob, Sacramento with Chris Webber could have won a championship. We know that. It was some strange officiating against the L.A. Lakers of Shaq Kobe that kept Sacramento maybe from winning that series and probably winning the championship if they had gotten to the finals. So Webber, I think, was at a higher level than Blake, but I think it's similar to that. Derrick Rose, MVP, Blake was never that, or even in that discussion. Penny Hardaway was going to be one of the greatest point guards we've ever seen. Simple as that. He wasn't quite Magic, but he was a similar type player. And the injuries just took him out of it. And then Grant Hill. Grant Hill was one of those legitimate heir apparents to Michael Jordan. Wouldn't have been Mike, but was a guy that was just an outstanding all-around player and put up huge numbers in Detroit, even though he never won a playoff series with them. So I don't put Blake in that category either, but to your point, he was a great player, and it's unfortunate that injuries have derailed him. But we'll see where he goes next, and maybe it'll, you know, he'll get some consolation by winning a championship. All right, we're going to throw it out to you guys. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Do you still think Blake Griffin can help a team this season, a contender? And do you put him up there with the Grant Hills, Chris Webbers, Derrick Roses of the world who were headed for all-time greatness before injuries derailed their career. We will continue the conversation with you next. It's Chris and Rob, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS, and you can save a whole lot of money on your car insurance. We got Vinny Goodwill, Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer, coming up in about 8 minutes. But before then, we're going to take your calls, 877-99 on Fox. Blake Griffin, can he really help a contender this year, put a team over the top, win a championship? And is he a Grant Hill, Penny Hardaway, Derrick Rose, one of those guys that was destined for all-time greatness but derailed by injuries? Your turn to weigh in. Let's see what you got.
All right, AJ in Atlanta, you're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. How you guys doing tonight?
We are good, brother. How are you?
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. What's going on?
Oh, not much, man. How you guys doing?
We good. What's your point? What's your topic, your comment?
Yeah, man. Well, first thing, I don't think he was an all-time great or destined to be great before the injuries. I think he was a pretty decent player for his time. As far as the team I would like to see him on, probably a good three-pointer team like maybe Brooklyn or Utah, a team that won't ask him to step up at the three-point line. He's always been sort of like a 40% field goal percentage guy. So a team that's going to provide depth to that front court and have them bang inside a little bit.
Yeah, no, I like that. I actually agree with you on both of those. I mean, I'd call him more than a decent player. He was a legitimate all-star, one of the better players in the league during his prime. But he definitely wasn't an all-time great Hall of Famer. I probably say no, but we'll see when that comes to terms. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think Brooklyn's a good place for him because he wouldn't have to do much but pick up the scraps, and I think he could do that.
Sean in Sacramento, you're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What you got?
My uncle's from another mother, man. My brother's behind the boys. How y'all doing on a Friday?
We are great, man. What's
my
up?
My guy!
Man, hey, what up, Alex? So my take real quick, man, is I cannot believe you could fix your mouth to say Blake Griffin is anywhere near the kind of athlete and just raw player that Chris Webber was, man. I appreciate the shout-out, though, and you pointing out the bad officiating, but Blake Griffin, to me, is more like Richard Jefferson, unless he has a great
Wait. With all due respect to Richard Jefferson, No. Richard Jefferson was a really good player, but he was not on the level of Blake Griffin. And I don't think Blake was as good as Webber. But I'm saying similar type career in that Webber hit a stride for about 5 years where he was great and was higher than Blake because he was averaged 27-13 one year or something like that.
Yes.
And could have won a championship. So
but
Blake
Chris,
wasn't
Chris
quite
was good,
that high, but close.
But Chris
Blake
was
a phenomenal athlete.
But Chris was a good player by himself. Blake is nothing without a great point guard.
Chris
what
didn't
has he
have
done
anything?
Since he lost CP3?
Chris didn't,
what
Chris
he
didn't
done?
Have Mike Bibby? Peja Stojakovic? Vlade Divac? Am I misremembering? It was all Chris Webber? Oh, my bad.
It wasn't. No, that's not what I'm saying, Chris. It wasn't
just,
all Chris
you
Webber.
You just disrespected
Chris Webber,
some good players.
But Chris Webber wasn't just catching lobs. That's all. I mean, Lob City was all that, man. You didn't see Blake Griffin improving his game. He still doesn't have a post-up game. He still has a shaky three-point shot. He has done nothing to develop, man. Without a great point guard, he's really nothing, man.
Well, he played pretty well in Detroit a couple years ago before the knee injuries took him down. 24/7 and 5. Yeah.
Tony in D.C., you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
Fellas, what's good? You know what it is. Broussard, Parker's Platoon is here.
Enough with the salutations, man. Get to your point.
Hey, Broussard, two things here. I think Blake, you know, he's one of the good players of the league seen, but is he a Barkley, Karl Malone, or even a Chris Webber? Nah, he's below those guys. I think his I think his best fit would be Brooklyn, because even if he goes to the Lakers, if LeBron goes to the bench, how's he going to get the ball, et cetera, et cetera? At least with Brooklyn, one of those guys always be on the floor, and he doesn't have to worry about being a primary scorer. And also, out of all those guys you name, I love Penny, but I really think Grant Hill was the one that had a real shot to be on the Mount Rushmore if he doesn't run into those injuries.
Well,
and
Mount
him
Rushmore?
And Tracy McGrady team up.
Mount Rushmore of what?
The Mount Rushmore of all time. I think Grant Hill.
There's only four spots on Mount Rushmore, my man.
I think Grant Hill McGrady would have picked up in the East where Jordan Pippen left off.
Look, I like Grant Hill. Mount Rushmore of basketball. No, remember, during Grant's prime when he won, he was great for 7 years. I think it was after he got hurt, was after his seventh year. He never won a playoff series. So he was great. Don't get me wrong. I think he would have been a Hall of Famer, like an all-time phenomenal player. But stop it with the Mount Rushmore. All right, we got Vince Goodwill coming up next. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Haven't talked to this brother in a little while. We miss him. He's a Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer. Our man, Vinny Goodwill. What up, bro?
What's going on, y'all? Rob, did you make it to work or did your car get towed?
No, I didn't get towed. But my goodness, I never got a bad ticket like that. I will live. I don't want to pay the money. You know I hate to give up money to the city, but they got me.
Well, better giving the money to the city than giving the money to some medical student.
Medical. Oh, they're medical students. All right. All right, but let's
you
go
can take
here.
A class and be a medical student, Vinny. Do not poo-poo that.
Speaking of medicine, injuries, all that, Blake Griffin, now a free agent, or, you know, he's free to go to a team, been bought out by the Detroit Pistons. Where do you think, it seems like all the reports seem that he's headed toward Brooklyn. Do you think that's going to be the case, and how does he help them? And if you think it's not, tell us where else you think he might go.
I think Brooklyn is probably the odds-on favorite, just because they have the need of depth in the front court, and I don't think that with the way that Blake has played so far this year, before you know he and the team essentially agreed to shut itself down, he didn't look that good. You know, he didn't look like he had his legs. His jump shot wasn't working. When he went into the post, he had much better success, but he didn't go down there often. So if you put him in a situation with Brooklyn where I felt like they were a big short before they traded Jared Allen in that deal for James Harden, like I think he's someone that can sort of fit a little bit of what they need. Maybe he can be an offensive hub as a secondary playmaker. The thing is for Brooklyn, though, don't they have enough playmakers over there?
Don't they have enough guys who can create shots?
And he doesn't help the defense. He doesn't have the legs, you know, to be a backline defender. Maybe he's a small ball five, but, you know, maybe it's just a flyer just to see what he has left. This is a pretty precipitous fall from the guy who he was, you know, almost a year and a half ago, where, you know, all NBA third team, and the leg injury just sort of started to catch up with him.
Yep.
Vinny, what about the $13 million haircut? That's a lot of money. Why do you think he would be willing to eat that much money?
When you're making $50-something million, I guess it's not that bad of an issue. And he's made a lot of money throughout his career. I'm sure he's going to get maybe let's just say the veterans minimum this year, wherever he signs, if he signs with Brooklyn. Then maybe he can get back on the market next year and get a decent enough deal. But you're talking about a guy who's never played a meaningful game beyond the second round of the playoffs. That means something to him. And you're talking about a guy who's very, very prideful. And despite his injuries, he's always managed to come back better and come back with a little added wrinkle. So I think that it's something where playing well basketball, playing meaningful basketball toward the end of his career, that means something to him rather than toiling in Detroit, which is at the start of a rebuild. They got a lot of young players who need a lot of time there. And no team was going to trade for him for the money that he was making, that he's on the books for. So I saw it as an inevitable solution. Almost the second that Troy Weaver and those new guys took over and basically established this new path.
Now, Vinny, I got to give you credit. You're very slick. I saw your recent story. Here's the title. James Harden can be the greatest version of himself as a number two option. I didn't get to read the whole thing, but I skimmed it. I kind of skimmed over it. It looked like it looks nice on the surface. Oh, Harden is this, Harden is that. But I sensed a little bit of a backhanded compliment in there. Like, he's playing great, but he can't be the number one option. He's just not that good. But he's great as the number two. Am I reading it correctly, or is it something else?
You know what? Them light-skinned eyes do something to you, man. Because there's nothing like that happening. Backhanded. Backhanded compliment. Here's the thing. I think, Chris, that there's only a few guys who can really be number ones. And I don't think there's a shame in being a quote-unquote a 1A or a number two. You got to think, if this goes back to even Rob's days as a beat writer, Magic Johnson was a number two guy until 1987. Like, that was Kareem's team up until Magic's first MVP year. And by that point, he had already won three championships. The last two, Magic won as the main guy. Kobe Bryant was a great number two for those Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, Lakers teams. Nobody thinks less of him, at least I don't. I think there's only a few guys that can carry a franchise, and by carrying a franchise, I mean you're setting the tone for the culture, for the way everything is going to be played inside and out, for the way that your team is going to behave and comport himself. There only a few guys can really carry the weight of that. Like, that's like LeBron and Stephen Curry, and to a certain degree, Kevin Durant. Saying James Harden can't do that consistently or do that every night isn't a shot at him. That's just, to me, saying that he's a much better fit with somebody else being the culture setter and him being a number two somewhere else. Because I think he can fit as a number two guy almost in any other place in the league and be just as effective and just as good.
Vinny, let's shift to the All-Star game and competition on Sunday. Why? First of all, the dunk lineup is probably as weak as it goes. Just,
this
got to, you know,
be the
no
weakest
star
I've
power.
Ever seen, right? It's the weakest we've ever seen.
And why do guys not want to participate in this? What do you think is the reason that this event has gone where it has?
Well, I mean, I think this year is kind of the odd year just because of all the circumstances. And usually it's the rising stars dunk contest, which means you got your guys who are sort of on the come up as opposed to the established stars. And with no rookie game and no activities for young people to really go to down there, you really got to make a decision to go down to Atlanta and be restricted amongst this, you know, this awkward situation that we're all in. So while I think the dunk contest had lost a little bit of its luster even before now, I think this year is just an oddity. And when you look at the quality of basketball over the past week, it's been really down because guys are looking forward to this mental break that they're going to take. It's been a lot of games. It's been a lot of, you know, restrictions and everything else. Guys don't get to go out on the road and do the normal things that they used to do during a normal season. So I think they're getting ready to feel themselves out to sort of say, you know what, whether it's a week or 3 or 4 days, whatever it is, just to take a break from all this, I'm not going to go down to Atlanta where I got to have a curfew and I can't go to Magic City or Strokers or, you know, any other place that Rob Parker likes to frequent when he goes down to Atlanta. Like, so imagine being 22 and you can't experience Atlanta. What's the point? For who? For what?
What have you heard, Vinny, from players? Because I was talking to an executive the other day, and they were like, man, I mean, he overstated it, obviously, and he knew it. But he was saying, man, it's like jail for these guys. He was like, they're on the road, and they get 1 hour a day where they can leave the hotel. Other than that, they're in their hotel room, no guests. And he said, at least on his team, dudes are following that. Like, they don't have guests all up in the rooms and stuff. Have you talked to any other players about that? Is that the sense you're getting around the league? And how tough is it on guys?
It's very tough on guys. Like, some of the guys that you talk to, depending on the stage of the career they're in, Chris, like you're a little bit older, you've experienced what it's like to live the life, you've made a lot of money. You can see the big picture for what it is, and you're not going to be too pressed about, you know, going to, oh, I've been to New Orleans, I'll go back to New Orleans next year. But if you're a young guy, and this is your, you know, second year around the league, you know, maybe you didn't make that trip to L.A. the first time last year before the league shut down. And then you get to go the second time this year, and you don't get a chance to do anything. And different states, as we know, have different rules and different levels of, you know, openness and everything else. It's a really tough thing. It's restrictive. I mean, money is supposed to bring about a certain level of freedom. Whenever you get to the pros compared to being in college, wherever you're at, you were told that money brings a certain level of privilege, except you don't make the type of money that brings about the privilege from this situation. And guys are frustrated. Guys are tired. And I think it's something where it kind of goes in ebbs and flows, because some guys can easily deal with it better than others. They can just lock in. But some of these younger guys, man, they want to be able to experience the life. And some guys may try to sneak out a little bit. Some guys may wild out. And as long as they don't get caught, we'll never be the wiser.
Vinny, we know the TV ratings for all sports are down. You know, so weird considering that most people are at home and, you know, and aren't going out. You would have thought TV ratings would have been through the roof, but they haven't been. What do you expect will this be the all-time lowest rated NBA All-Star game? Because we've seen some of the numbers. It just doesn't seem as if people might not be as interested this year, especially since some of the big stars like LeBron and Giannis and Kawhi all said they really don't want to be there. What do you expect?
I don't know what the numbers – I'm not like a ratings expert type thing, but I think one thing we've underrated about this is the communal aspect of what sport is. So even if you're not at a game – but there's a packed house that you're looking at on TV, it makes you feel like you want to be part of the experience. And if it's an empty arena, there's no atmosphere, and guys have to bring their own energy, and the crowd noise is piped in, like you can tell the difference. And it's really hard sometimes for an individual to get excited about something if nobody else is excited about it. It's kind of like you watch a game sometimes because of fear of missing out. That's the whole point of, you know, an app like Twitter, where if everybody's talking about it, you want to be able to get in on the conversation, so you're going to watch what everybody's watching. But if nobody's there, there's nothing, you know what I'm saying, there's no roots for it to talk about. So for me, I think the biggest thing about this season, and I'm a kid from Motown, I love the trade and everything else, this has been a soulless NBA season so far. Wow. And hopefully, as, you know, we get, you know, vaccinated and everything else, and, you know, gradually fans getting started letting to arenas, and we getting, like, I guess maybe a new normal or the old normal gets reestablished, we get a build up until the playoffs where maybe it starts to feel normal again compared to the bubble where it felt like a new temporary normal. Maybe these playoffs will be this build up, this culmination of us getting to some level back to normal compared to this All-Star game, which is going to feel pretty sterile unless you're at Magic City.
No doubt about it.
That's a good note to end on,
Vinny. I have
Vinny.
To wait till July because that's the baseball All-Star game is in Atlanta, so I'll be down there for that.
Bring your singles, and I don't mean just getting on base, Rob Parker.
All right, Vinny, good stuff, my man. We appreciate the time, brother.
All right, y'all take it easy now.
All right, my man, peace. We got a special Friday edition of Shop Talk, and it's coming your way next. Keep it locked. iCouple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are the iCouple coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. You can call Farmers today for a quote. It is time for Shop Talk.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Now, it's Shop Talk.
That's right. It is Shop Talk. Now, we normally don't do this on Friday, but something happened today that was so egregious. Got everybody so fired up. We said, we got to do a Shop Talk on it. And let me tell you, first thing when I saw that it happened, I was like, man, that sucks for my guy, Rob Parker. But then my second thought was, this is going to make for great content on the radio. So, Rob, first
First
thing we're going to do, Rob, tell us all what happened. And then on the heels of that, we're all going to share our own worst traffic or parking citation violations.
So I come out of the place I'm in, and I see the woman in front of me, and I'm looking at her, and she's writing, you know, on her little computer or whatever, a ticket. And I'm like, what's the issue? I see the green light blinking, so I know that there's money in the meter. I didn't even question that. So I was just looking at, like, what is she doing? And I said, I'm getting a ticket. So I get in my car. I'm getting a ticket? And she says, I was already writing it, so I couldn't stop. And I was like, for what? My meter's good. She said, no, look, you're too far from the meter. You're not in the painted box, which I've never in my entire life. I'm not so far back that I'm blocking the other spot behind me. There's plenty of room. Because you know in California there's a red line, red painting on the curb, Rob G., right, between parking spots, right?
Yep.
So I'm not like I'm in the other parking spot or that far back where I'm blocking two spots. So I'm like, okay, I could see I could be a little closer, but really this is a ticket? And she said, yeah, well, this you got to be in the box and whatever. Gave me a ticket for $58. I have not had a parking ticket in more than 15 years because I refuse to give the city my money. I'll put $9 and quarters in the meter before I'll give the city $50 or $60 for a parking ticket. So I got screwed today.
Are you going to fight it? Go to court?
I don't know. I'm not, you know, it costs money to go to court. That's how they get you.
Right.
They if you take a day off of work or go waste 8 hours for $58,
You'll pay more than $58. You probably would end up paying more than $58.
From the waste of your time and energy.
I've had a lot of tickets. I don't know about parking. I mean, I probably had a couple parking, but I've had a lot of traffic tickets, speeding, things like that. And I didn't go to court for a while. I was just like, man, I'll just pay it. But you know what? That racked up all my points. I had tons of points. So then I was like, man, I got to start going to court if I get a ticket, you know, to get these points off.
They'll take your
or
license.
Take some tests. Oh, it was ridiculous. So anyway, I don't even know. I've had so many tickets. I can't think of what my most craziest was. But I will say this story. My daughters, as you guys know, they're twins, identical twins. So they were driving one night together. And one of them was, whoever was driving was speeding. And she couldn't find her license when they pulled her over. So she used her sister's license, you know, and they looked the same. So the officer didn't know.
That's genius.
Right. Well, it was nice. But then, of course, the other sister is going
to go to court.
So what I did was I took the sister who was driving to court. So it was, I believe it was Noelle who was the one that was driving, but they thought it was Alexis. So I took Noelle to court. She had to act like she was Alexis.
Oh, God.
And all this, and answer questions. What school you in? What college you in? You know, this is, what's your major? Because, you know, they were interested in her and all that.
This sounds like a sitcom episode.
And then I made her, I didn't want Alexis to get points for tickets, you know, that she didn't earn. And so I made Noelle take the test to get the points removed. So that was a sitcom episode, Rob.
No,
G.
That was blatant fraud is what that was. Rob G, what do you got?
You just told on yourself. Quickly, early in my days at Fox Sports Radio, I was only working here part-time. And you guys have been here on Ventura and Sepulveda. There's bumper-to-bumper traffic at some of these times of the day. So I was not moving at all. I'm sitting in traffic. I'm on my phone talking to my girlfriend, now my wife. A bike cop pulled up next to me, knocked on my window, and gave me a phone ticket for being on my phone while operating a vehicle.
How much?
Well, $125.
Oh, my.
Well, that's what you get. That's what you get.